Do audience wish that filmmakers would combine familiar tropes with artistic originality more often? That's what you can gain more insight into in this episode of the special five-part edition of The Claim, an audience-focused podcast by the research and strategy company Publicom, developed in collaboration with EFM. In each episode, we invite international industry professionals on stage at Berlinale 2026 to discuss a series of claims about the audience based on insights from audience research from more than 150 films and TV series. And in this episode, we are joined by Sol Bundy, producer at 1-2 Film, and Jan Krüger, distributor and producer at Paul O'Brien. My name is Niels Alberg, and I'm co-hosting with my colleague, Rikke Flodin.
Hi.
So let's hear the reactions from Sol Bundy and Jan Krüger when we met on stage in Berlin and discussed our claim that audiences would enjoy more film that combine experimentation and familiarity rather than betting everything on just one of the two. We hope you'll enjoy the claim and the conversation. Today we are joined by Sol Bundy of 1-2 Film and Jan Krüger of Port-au-Prince. Welcome to both of you, and thank you so much for wanting to participate here. Let's get started with the claim of the day, because we are here to discuss a claim about the audience that we consider to be valid. It's based on more than 5 years of research, where we have been involving 50,000 qualitative audience responses and have done millions of online conversation analysis for TV and film productions, and also run quite a few surveys with thousands of audiences replying to it, some of it in a film with you as well. So I'll now hand over to Rikke, who will present the audience claim of today, and then we can talk to your reactions after that. So what is the claim, Rikke?
Well, before we dive into that, I want to share with you a quote from one of our audience participants. And this might come off as a little provocative, but it represents really well the tone of the claim that we will talk about later. So here goes. In my opinion, European films are mostly known for drama, heavy films, but often they lack uniqueness. Of course, these kind of films can be good, but I think that European cinema should become more diverse and original. Which leads us to the claim of today, which is that the audience wish we would mix more tropes with art and originality. So this claim lives in the tension between familiarity and surprise. We often see that even the most committed art house audiences don't come to films just to be challenged. They come to be entertained. And that word can feel a little suspicious in creative rooms, but it's the first word that the audience use when they talk about what drives them to watch. What they're really asking for is orientation and a way into the complexity. Tropes, when used with intention, can offer that entry point, not as a cliche, but as a shared language, a signal that somehow says, you're here, you know this world, now let's see where it goes. Audiences naturally label stories. And in this process, they look for and they also reach for genre tags. Not because they like to be boxed in, because they don't like that either, but because recognition creates pleasure and cater needs. And in fact, we see that audiences, they love hybrids. They enjoy crossovers and they are curious. But what unsettles them is not ambiguity. It's arriving in a story without any sense of direction at all. And this matters even more now in a streaming-shaped world. Attention is no longer something you earn slowly by withholding. It's something you invite by engaging early. That doesn't mean the audiences have lost patience for complex stories. They haven't. It means that they trust their own intelligence. They know how to read characters quickly. They are fluent in story grammar. And they don't need everything to be explained before the plot is allowed to begin. So in fact, audiences are often most alive when they're filling in the gaps themselves, wondering about the backstories, sensing relationships, decoding the rules of the world as the story moves forward. So to the audience, mixing tropes with art and originality, it isn't about playing it safe. It's about opening the door early, using familiarity as an invitation, and then trusting the audience enough to take them somewhere that's bold, strange, and emotionally alive. So, the audience wish we would mix more tropes with art and originality.
I agree so much with this. it's so as a producer, we get approached a lot. At the moment, it has reached an insane peak where we are actually getting 5 to 10 new project proposals every day. So you could also argue that I'm, in many cases, the first audience member of an idea or a project. And, you know, maybe I was never able to put it in such a smart way, because I couldn't ask 500 people to condense this in
800.
800, the way that you did right now. But the point is, I always talk about orientation, and this is not a word that is often used in when you talk about dramaturgy, or, you know, when you talk with screenwriters even, or directors. It's, I think the people that have worked with me in the past will or can vouch for that I do use this word quite often, because I'm always like, okay, I need to understand where I am. But then, yes, I do want to be surprised. Take me to a new place. So I could go on for ages, but I understand that we have only 20 minutes and there's more things we want to talk about. So in a nutshell, I could not agree more with this claim.
That's great to hear. And I was actually a little bit curious, you agree, but do you think actually also that the audience agree, or are we wrong here? Is this from a producer's point of view, or would the audience also be into this as well?
Well, that's the point I was trying to make, is that like, I identify with the audience because I am the audience.
You're the first audience.
You know? And if I can't get excited myself, I can't, you know, translate this excitement to financiers, to co-producers, to actors, to anyone, and ultimately not to the audience.
Would you also then agree to this? Because it also means a bit that, you know, not enough films are doing this. Is that also true?
I think so. And I think if you were to really dissect films that do exceptionally well, I think this, you will find a lot of this stuff. I mean, Jan is not only a producer, he's also a distributor.
Yeah.
So and he distributes films in Germany, which is even harder, maybe not even harder. But German audiences are special. And for us at 1-2 Films, there's a reason why we don't focus on German films. We focus on international cinema. And for us, it's always important to make films that we know or we will feel will touch, you know, many audiences all across the world.
I couldn't agree more. I want to be entertained, but I want to be surprised. And so that's why we are also not only German art house, but internationally art house distributing in Germany, which is a tough market. If you look at the numbers in Germany, especially on the art house, the old stuff is working, or the stuff they know. And they can, and the audience can relate on it.
Did you say inside art house as well?
No, not in art house. It's, they are not going then into the art house. If you see The Secret Agent, for example, we are close to 60,000 admissions right now, which is a pity, I would say, for such a movie. And I think if you watch out to France, or if you watch, I mean, I don't want to talk about Brazil, but 2 million. But it's a Brazilian movie, of course. But it's really, we lack on interest. And if the people here, they like comedies out of the 90s, basically, right? And this is, to me, it's a pity. This is why we look outside of our borders. I personally look for surprise and like to orientate more of this, maybe because we are curious, yeah, and working in this field and telling stories, we are curious about people. This is our job, to be curious, right? So we want to be surprised. So yes, I personally totally agree with this. If the German audience, I'm a little bit, there's a lack of it.
Okay, but do you think that is because there is a lack of tropes in general, so the orientation is unclear for many of the German audiences inside of the art house stories, or what can improve the numbers, basically?
it's a big field.
It's also a cultural thing, you know, like to think that millions of Germans tune into a thing called Tatort every Sunday night, which is a, you know, it's a feature-length film. Maybe some of the listeners won't know. A feature-length film, always a crime story, always two investigators, and they move around Germany. So the investigators don't move around Germany, but they have like different series, basically. So it's basically they enter the world of the known, right? Every case is different. And the most successful ones are maybe the ones that, you know, add a certain sense of art and originality to it. You
a could certain argue. Spice. Yeah.
So you could even use this claim for that, you know. But I think what Jan is getting at is that in Germany specifically, you see often similar recipes working again and again, and that's a little bit.
And when I get approached by producers or also by filmmakers who want to produce a movie with us, they're like, it's XYZ meets XYZ, you know, it's those comps are like, it's always what comps you have, and it's not like which original story I'm telling. So where's the new stuff actually?
All right. Okay, thank you. I think for the time, we probably need to add a bit more data because we asked a few more questions to a few more people. 800 people replied to this. Which statement do you agree with more? That one, movies sometimes go too far without challenging scenes, themes, and visuals. And second, movies often play too safe, and I wish they took bigger creative risk. And as these numbers says, it's a clear winner here. People wish that you would take more creative risks. But how does this add up to also, Jan, what you just said? Because I, in a way, understood that maybe you felt that that is one of the problems here as well. So is there any chance to combine some of these well-known tropes a little bit more that can open the door for more risk-taking? And what can that be? You can also divide tropes down to visual characters, plots, and so on.
Maybe we should divide it a little bit more how you market a certain thing and get the audience in and then surprise them. So maybe the marketing is a little bit more about orientation, or should be a little bit more about orientation. And then you can surprise the audience. And what always works in distribution is if you go out of a movie, you had surprises, you like the movie, and you tell it your friend. It's been the best marketing you have. If Saul tells me I've seen this and I got surprised about this movie, of course I gotta check it out. You know?
But do you think there's a disconnect in when you work with a producer, for instance, and they maybe want to promote one message about the film, but you as a distributor want to promote another message? Is that an ongoing conflict or a discrepancy between these two interests?
Yes. Just a clear yes.
Yeah. Okay, any reaction, Saul, from you to this thirst for more risk-taking?
Yeah, I mean, as producers, we're in the risk business, and I really agree with this claim, and I also really agree with this. I know where I would have put my tick for sure. You know, as a film professional who works in film but also sees a lot of films, it's very rare to get excited or challenged or see something that you haven't seen before. But these are exactly the films that I'm drawn to. And these kind of films, in my personal opinion, they hardly ever take it too far. You know, I mean, it comes down to personal taste. Like, I'll admit that I enjoyed The Substance, but when the film goes off the rails in the last half hour, I was lost. But in general, I love the concept of how far this film went, you know? Because they had a really strong point and really striking visuals and just like went all in. And I can acknowledge that, although I'm not a genre fan and although I was a little bit lost. But in general, I think we need more films like this that go all in.
All right. Would you say that the conversation on the danger connected to taking a risk is more dominant in the industry than the danger connected to playing it too safe.
Yes.
Yes.
You need to change that, guys.
Well, we're working on it.
We are taking risks, but
no, I mean, you know, the film that we worked on together, Current 75, was a film that was here last year, and this is a film that we had really to push through against all odds. So many people were telling us, "You cannot make this. You cannot make this. It won't work." And we were just like the protagonist in the film, like banging against doors all the time, running through doors, until the film got made, and then. The result was people said, oh, it's really fresh. It's really exciting. It's really different. And so it's, you know, it's not only us. Of course, we as independent producers, we, you know, people often think that producers have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money. I need to find the money. And, you know, so I need to persuade a lot of people. Current 75 had, I think, 42 different financing partners. And we had to do like 27 funding applications, and only 12 of them worked. So it's we're in the risk business. That's what I'm essentially saying, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. You had a comment as well, Jan.
No, I was one of it actually, because I was skeptical about. I loved the script, but in the end, I loved the movie, by the way. But I was skeptical in the beginning, and. He took the risk and went all the way through. So you have to take risks, and it pays off. And it should be more people out there who see that and taking risks as well, their decisions, especially funding decisions.
Yeah. I agree, and it ended up working really well. I completely agree on that as well. Let's take the last one here. This is a little bit of a mixed bag, I would say, of signals. The first question here is, in your opinion, how should European films structure their storylines? Please choose the option you agree with most. And this is a draw. So 6% say they don't really know. But the exact same amount of people, 47%, agree to the following two statements. By introducing an element of suspense early in the film to engage the audience quickly. So that's half of the population here agree to that. And a similar amount agree to by taking more time to establish the story and characters with suspense developing later. And then we actually also combine that with this question, which is, please complete the sentence. I prefer when a film gradually builds up to drama action over time, or starts by clearly introducing the drama action right away. And as you see here, people actually prefer a slow build-up. So that's talking a little bit against the first one, and we speculated into why does people have the every second cinema goer tell us we want to get into the action faster, but they also tell us we want to have drama build-up over time. But we have a suggestion to this little puzzle, because many times we have seen that people do really appreciate that things are slow introduced. It's a nice way to get into an environment, a character, and so on. But they often disagree with where this is in the film. Often people tell us European films simply start too slow. We like that they go down in pace, but does it have to be in the beginning always? So that could be like a potential way to look at these numbers. So last question here is, do you think that we should just start European movies with a bigger bang, basically?
The streamers would totally agree on it.
Yeah, I know. But what about you guys? And does it exclude that you also, you know, turn down the pace a little bit later on?
This is a difficult one, and as you can see by the first question, I think it really maybe comes down to a matter of taste here, because there's no clear answer. I think starting the drama and action right away or relatively early is, I think this is like playing it by the book. Like if you read the old classical dramaturgy, you know, Bibles, and you look at the classical three-act structure, they will always tell you, like, you know, on which page more or less the inciting incident needs to happen and the story needs to get going. And I think you know, educated European, but also all over the world, art house cinema goers, they, you know, they are educated. They've seen so much. they can accept when this happens a little bit later. And I was just, you know, as I was looking at this, I was like trying to go through our films, our last films, and thinking like, okay, where does this happen and where does this happen? I wish I had a smart conclusion because I know this is being recorded.
It's also mixed signals, but so yeah, it's difficult to come with one conclusion.
I said in the beginning, you know, like, and I think when it comes back to this quote, the most important thing doesn't have to be like a big bang, but I do think orientation is important. People want to understand where they are. They want to understand what they're watching. And then, as the claim says, they want to be surprised. And, you know, the big bang can come a bit later. So I think I would essentially advocate for the fact that if you have a strong hook and if you have a strong moment, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the first 5 minutes. It can come a bit later, yes.
Yeah, okay. We cannot go much later than this. We have 3 minutes and we just want to have the last little input here because we asked a lot of questions to you guys now, but we also want to offer the options to have you to give questions back to the audiences. Just after the Berlinale, we will collect a question from all the participants in this 5-episode podcast. We're just curious about what question you would like us to give to these audiences.
Well, I have one. Yeah. I have a theory. So if you have like 800 people to answer this question, I'm all in.
All right, go ahead.
My theory is that people take a very, very, very short amount of time to instinctively decide if they're going to like something or not. If they're going to give it a real shot, a real chance, like to like something, I think it's probably even seconds, if not minutes, of a film opening, and you're quickly going to decide, am I fully in, you know, am I going all in, or am I going to be a little bit on the fence and wait and see what happens? So my question would be, really from a gut feeling, how quickly do you as an audience member decide, are you going to give this film a chance to let it in?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Thank you. We will ask.
How quickly? I'm still processing this question. When and what part of the movie, or second, or what kind of element?
No, I really mean like seconds to minutes. I always try to make this point when I speak to filmmakers or writers, or I say the beginning is so important. Please don't underestimate the first shot, the first thing you see on a frame. I think it's so important. Like, I mean, to quote a film that we are both involved in, The Secret Agent, you know, it starts like many Cleva Mendonça Filho films with a montage of images, but that is more to set the mood. But then when the film opens, it starts with this, you know, top shot of a petrol station, and there's a dead guy lying there. And he, you know, Cleva said he stole this shot. So this is definitely a moment of using a trope. This is an image that you know. But then he goes into the scene, and I'm glad you actually chose a still from that scene that I'm just talking about here. And he does surprise us. But he used
orientation.
Yeah.
Here again.
Yeah. But that's my point. You know, you see the film and it looks familiar, although it's new. It's a new film, but it looks familiar. So you're already leaning in. That's my theory. I think people probably decide within... I'm not saying that this will define how they like the entire movie. It's just about how willing am I to be open.
I think it aligns well with the patterns, but I think it's very interesting for us to ask even down to minutes or seconds. So let's find a hopefully clever way to do that. Jan, do you have a question you want to deliver as well?
Actually, right now, no. No. Where does European cinema goes to in times of these? What kind of stories can we tell? And as the Berlinale was starting to be more political in movie making.
Yeah. Okay, so the question about Sorry, can you rephrase the part about the...
How can you be political in telling, or which stories can be told or can be political, and how are they being told?
Okay, yeah.
All right. Times like these.
Yeah, all right.
Because I don't know if you got where the first press conference they got asked if movies or cinema is not political, and Wim Wenders was answering. So yeah. That was a huge question.
Okay, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
This podcast is a part of a 5-episode series produced in collaboration with EFM. The series will be released shortly after Berlinale on both the EFM platform and our own website. So if you are curious to hear more about industry professionals' response to additional audience claims, please look out for the series once it becomes available.